On page 52 of the November 2010 QST, we see a review of the Waukesan KGUV2D and KGUVD1P dual-band handheld transceivers, reviewed by Bob Allison, WB1GCM, Whiskey Bravo 1, Golf Charlie Mike, ARRL test engineer. Waukesan, pronounced O-Sheng, but spelled W-O-U-X-U-N, so that's why I'm pronouncing it Waukesan, but O-Sheng is a new name on the market. Undoubtedly, many radio amateurs have seen Chinese VHF, UHF handheld transceivers offered via online auction services directly from China with a temptingly low price. However tempting, these handheld transceivers transmitted throughout their entire frequency range and lacked basic FCC certification for use in the USA. O-Sheng was granted FCC certification for the KGUVD1P under Part 90 rules for commercial radios, clearing the way for use in the amateur bands. In this review, we will look at the performance of the O-Sheng KGUVD1P and KGUV2D and ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, will clear up misconceptions about the use of these radios in the amateur bands. Over the summer, I tested the KGUVD1P at the ARRL lab and had completed my review when, to my surprise, the KGUV2D was released to the market. O-Sheng's U.S. distributor, Ed Griffin, W4KMA, Whiskey 4, Kilo Mike Alpha, informed me that the KGUV2D is identical to the KGUVD1P except for a slightly different case and an improvement to one of the display functions. I got the new model, and lab test results showed identical performance. This review covers the 2-meter 70-centimeter version. A 2-meter 1.25-meter version is available as well. Out of the box, after a successful day instructing kit builders at ARRL Expo at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention, I eagerly checked out the KGUVD1P handheld I had purchased. Inside the box, I found the radio, flexible antenna, battery pack, hand strap, belt clip, and a drop-in battery charger. The radio shipped with a charged battery, and soon I heard the locals chatting about the day's events. As always, read the manual first. You'll need some time to understand what the manual is trying to say, as the Chinese to English translation is at times puzzling and at other times amusing. For example, the transceiver has two receive frequencies, the master frequency, channel A, and the vice frequency, channel B. Needless to say, O-Sheng's English, or Waukesan's English, depending on how you want to pronounce that, is a lot better than my Chinese. The manual includes a useful shortcut operation sheet for 30 functions. Look over. Unlike most current handheld transceivers, the O-Sheng uses a female SMA connector on the 7-inch flexible antenna, which tightens snugly to the top of the body. Adapters for other connector types are available. To the right of the antenna is a very bright LED flashlight. Next in line are the rotary encoder and on-off volume controls. In front of the rotary controls are a green LED that lights when the squelch opens and a red LED indicating transmit. The left side features the push-to-talk switch and two side keys. Side key 1 is used for momentarily turning on the dial lamp, enabling FM broadcast band reception, scanning functions, and the SOS channel. Side key 2 opens the squelch for monitoring weak signals or turns on the flashlight. The right side features speaker, 8 ohms, and mic jacks. Both jacks are used with the optional programming cable. Each side has a battery latch, and both must be pressed firmly downward to detach the battery. There is provision for operating this transceiver with an external DC supply using an optional 12-volt battery eliminator. The 1-inch speaker opening on the front panel greets the user with a V-shaped grille design. Below that is the AB button to shift transmit from channel A to B. You can listen to two frequencies at once, but both receivers are muted upon transmit, so this is not a full duplex transceiver. The TDR button just below the speaker switches the receiver from single band to dual band operation. The easy-to-read 9/16 by 1 1/2 inch display is backlit automatically when you press side key 2 or any key on the front panel, and it stays illuminated for about 4 seconds. The 16-button keypad includes the function button and shortcuts to some features. The number, pound, and star keys are fully functional DTMF keys. Odd tones are emitted through the speaker if other keys are pressed during transmission. Lab testing. Lab test results are shown in Table 3. These results are for the KGUV2D, but the KGUVD1P I tested was virtually identical. There were no unexpected problems during testing, but I will note a few things I would like to see improved. While the minimum squelch threshold was 0.05 microvolts, good, the maximum squelch threshold was 0.15 microvolts, not useful to block out weak co-channel users. I'd like to see at least 5 microvolts maximum. I found the S-meter to be virtually useless. The radio shows full-scale S-meter readings with a very low-level signal input, making received signal-level comparisons difficult. A more useful sensitivity range would be helpful, especially if working satellites or while participating in radio direction-finding activities. I've owned handhelds with no S-meter, so I didn't consider this to be a major drawback. The other testing issue was a rather poor ability to reject images, especially on the 70 centimeter band. While this isn't a problem with the flexible antenna, images may be an issue if the radio is used with a higher gain external antenna in RF congested areas. Tests showed the KGUV2D to be very sensitive, with respectable dynamic range figures and good IF rejection. RF output was slightly higher than specified on both bands at full charge, as was audio output from the external speaker jack. The KGUVD1P and KGUV2D both meet FCC requirements for spurious signal and harmonic suppression. Spectrally, the KGUVD2D tested even better than the KGUVD1P. On the air, it talks. The Osheng KGUV2D can speak either in English or Chinese to announce pressing the keypad numbers or while programming functions, though it does not announce the specific selection made for each function. For example, if I'd like to adjust my RF output power, I press the menu button and the function select is announced. I then rotate the encoder knob around to read TXP, function 04. I then press the menu button again and power select is announced. I rotate the encoder knob to read low and press menu again, and unfortunately it announces enter. Still, this transceiver is useful for visually impaired hams. Buddy Brannon, KB5ELV, Kilo Bravo 5 Echo Lima Victor, has written Tips and Hints for Eyes-Free Operation of the KGUVD1P. It's available on the osheng.us website, and that's actually Wuxun, W-O-U-X-U-N.us website. I made many contacts on 2 meters and 70 centimeters and received reports of good voice clarity and correct modulation level. Receive audio quality is very good, with plenty of extra volume to overcome background noise. An icon on the display indicates a signal is being received on the VICE or B channel, eliminating confusion as to what frequency or channel is active. I noticed no unusual heating of the case during high power operations. The battery takes about 5 hours to fully charge. One feature I almost missed was a 12-volt DC input jack at the base of the charging stand to charge the battery pack with an external 12-volt supply, such as a car battery, if needed. During 3 days of normal use, the batteries held up very well. I cannot call this device a battery hog. The lightweight polycarbonate case is very comfortable to use. I made it a point to use the KG UVD1P nearly every day for a period of 2 months. While long-term reliability is still unknown, my initial impression is that with care, durability problems shouldn't be encountered. Programming. The slightly older KG UVD1P has 3 display modes, but the nomenclature is confusing. For example, frequency mode is called VFO mode on other VHF FM transceivers. Channel mode is normally called memory mode. Function #21 selects the working mode, or display mode, which selects frequency mode, channel mode, and name display mode. While the user can quickly toggle between frequency and channel mode by pressing menu plus TDR, function 21 must be used to get back into the name display mode. The KG UV2D solved this issue by allowing the menu plus TDR toggle to change the display from frequency to channel mode with name included in the display, a much needed improvement. My first attempt at programming channel memories into the KG UVD1P resulted in frustration. Manually programming this radio is cumbersome and not intuitive, but it can be done with practice. My advice is to purchase the optional USB programming cable. The instructions that came with the programming cable were clearly written and included the necessary information to download USB drivers and programming software. There are several USB driver choices. Although osheng.us, which is really pronounced very differently from what it's spelled, so I'm going to spell this out for you here and we'll just stop reading for a second. osheng.us is actually spelled wouxun.us, and that's why I've been pronouncing it Wuxun, so that it's not so confusing. Okay, well anyway, back to the text. So that website suggested the prolific driver for my Windows XP system. I could not get that one to work, so I tried the Wuxun driver, or Osheng driver, which worked the first time. You can also download a program called FindComPort. You need to assign a port number before programming. The Osheng or Wuxun software is easy to use but basic. I soon had most of the 128 available channels programmed and named. Channel numbers are announced while in either the channel or name display modes. I programmed my favorite repeaters and simplex frequencies in channels 1 to 5. I found that I could change memory channels without looking at the radio while driving. Other features. Other popular and more expensive handheld transceivers are packed with useful functions. While the KG UV2D is not nearly as sophisticated, it does have a few useful added features. The LED flashlight, for example, is very effective. While effective, the flashlight is not always functional. With the squelch open, you cannot turn the flashlight on. Consequently, if the flashlight is already on, you must have a closed squelch to shut it off. Strange, but considering the flashlight button is also the momentary squelch open button, I'm not surprised. Both radios include an FM broadcast tuner, called FM Digital in the manual. The tuner is analog only. Frequency selection is accomplished by turning the encoding knob or by pressing either the up or down button. Audio is clear, but some of the strongest stations overload the receiver, causing crackles in the sound. Reorienting the antenna reduces this unwanted effect. It appears that in China, the FM broadcast band is 76 to 108 MHz. I was reminded of this regularly since it reverts to 78 MHz each time the radio is turned on. While it's cumbersome to crank the knob to reach our FM broadcast band starting at 88 MHz, I'm still pleased that this inexpensive transceiver has this feature. Other features include a stopwatch, an SOS function, a Vox, and the ability to switch from high to low power and back while transmitting by pressing the TDR button. It is interesting to have a handheld transceiver that can speak Chinese. I've learned how to count from 0 through 9 and words such as enter and function. Most of the time I use the English mode, and I have to admit I have grown fond of the young lady with the Chinese accent inside my radio. The distributor is wuxun.us, wouxun.us, P.O. Box 451, New London, North Carolina, 28127. Telephone number, area code 704-463-5820. I'll repeat that, 704-463-5820. And the website is www.wouxun.us. United Sierra. Okay, and before we finish up here, if you want to stick around, we have Table 3, the Osheng or Wuxun KGUV2D serial number Juliet 08-8772, and this is the model that they actually tested, so this is a table of what they found out here. Manufacturer's specifications, frequency coverage, receive and transmit, 136 to 174 MHz, 350 to 470 MHz, 76 to 108 FM digital. Now, obviously, it doesn't transmit on the FM digital. Measured in the ARRL lab, receive was 136 to 174.995, 350 to 470.995 MHz, and then 76 to 108 MHz FM broadcast, and the transmit was 144.0 to 147.995 and 420 to 449.995. The modes were FM and FM narrow. Power requirements, 7.4 volts DC, battery only, and measured in the ARRL lab, receive battery power was 287 milliamps. Maximum volume, no signal, and lights on was the condition that they got that under. And then 30 milliamps power save. Transmit was 1.43 amps on high power and 0.77 amps low, and that was with 8.4 volts DC. And taking a closer look at the receiver, FM sensitivity 12 dB SINAD 0.16 microvolts was the specification. And in the testing, they came out for 12 dB SINAD 146 MHz 0.11 microvolt, and at 162.4 MHz 0.11 microvolt, 440 MHz 0.12 microvolt, and the FM two-tone third order intermodulation distortion dynamic range was not specified, but in their testing they got 20 kHz offset 146 MHz 69 dB, 440 MHz 60 dB, 10 MHz offset 146 MHz 86 dB, 440 MHz 82 dB, and in the two-tone second order intermodulation distortion testing, 146 MHz 84 dB and 440 MHz 99 dB, adjacent channel rejection, 20 kHz offset, 146 MHz 69 dB and 440 MHz 60 dB, spurious response, IF rejection, 146 and 440 MHz, greater than 136 dB, image rejection at 146 MHz, 44 dB, and 440 MHz, 30 dB, squelch sensitivity at threshold 0.05 microvolts and 0.15 microvolts maximum. Audio output was specified at half a watt, but in their measurements they found it to be 0.72 watts at 10% THD into an 8-ohm external speaker, and I think 10% distortion is probably pretty normal. Anyway, THD at 1 volt RMS, 1.8%. Transmitter power output specified VHF 5 watts and UHF 4 watts. In the testing, however, it was 146 MHz, the lab got 5.2 watts in the high power position and 1.3 watts in the low, and then on the 440 MHz band, 4.3 watts high and 1.4 watts low at 8.4 DC, which is full charge for that unit. Specified spurious signal and harmonic suppression are greater than 60 dB, and in the testing, 146 MHz turned out to be greater than 70 dB and 440 MHz greater than 70 dB, which they say does meet the FCC requirements. Then the transmit-receive turnaround time, push-to-talk release to 50% of full audio output is what they're looking for here, was not specified, but with squelch on and an S9 signal, it came out to about a quarter of a second, 240 milliseconds. And then receive-transmit turnaround time, in other words, transmit delay, was not specified, but at 146, it was 30 milliseconds, and 440 MHz, 50 milliseconds. The size, height, width, depth is 4.1 inches by 2.3 inches by 1.5 inches, and the weight is only 8.8 ounces, so definitely a pretty small radio. Price, KGUV2D 146-440 or 146-222 MHz, $107. Yes, that's $107 U.S. KGUV-D1P is the 146 and 440 MHz, $107. USB programming cable is $18 and the speaker mic is $14. There is a 7.4 volt 1300 milliamp hour lithium ion battery and drop-in charger supplied. Available options are a 1700 milliamp hour lithium ion battery, $24, 12 volt battery eliminator, $12, dual slot charger, $24, 12 volt car charger, $10, AA battery pack, $8. And then one other sidebar in this article. This is the part by Chris Imlay, W3KDARRL General Counsel, and it's entitled, "Is It Legal?" The FCC doesn't require equipment authorization for any amateur radio transmitter to be operated under Part 97, except those that incorporate scanning receivers, which require a grant of certification. If an amateur radio transmitter also includes frequencies allocated to other services, and if the device is intended to operate in those other services as well as the amateur service, then the transmitter must be certified for all non-Part 97 radio services for which it is intended to operate. The FCC uses the term intended to operate as being equivalent to capable of operation. Osheng is able to legally market a device that operates in the bands specified and that has a scanning receiver because it has a certification grant for Part 90 operation which satisfies the certification requirement with respect to the scanning receiver. It can be operated by Part 97 licensees and by Part 90 licensees in their respective frequency bands. Osheng U.S. or Woksan U.S. chooses to limit the frequency range of the amateur version of the device to ham bands only. Restricting the frequency range of the device to ham bands only is okay as a Class 1 permissive change without recertification, as long as the means for restricting the frequency range in the amateur version of the device is not done with hardware changes and without any denigration of the characteristics of the device as reported to the FCC. Osheng U.S. presumably wants to make sure that Part 97 licensees do not operate the device on Part 90 channels and vice versa. It is good practice for them to market the ham band only version to hams and to market the Part 90 band only version to Part 90 licensees. Good fences make good neighbors. And that's signed Chris Imlay, W3KD, Whiskey 3, Kilo Delta, ARRL, General Counsel. And that's the end of this article from the November 2010 QST. For the Handy Ham Audio Digest, this is Pat Tice, WA0TDA.